ready?
We're ready. We can just start talking.
Yeah, let's just. We normally don't start off like.
There's no weird intros.
No, we don't do
weird intros. We like talk until we feel like, you know.
We talk to do. It started. To be normal and be like, instead of being like, hey, guys, it's like, no, we're here. Hey, guess what? We're here.
The drinking bros do that.
Yeah, the
welcome.
Welcome.
Well, it's so cool that you guys have your own thing. And obviously, from what we're hearing, 38 in the world, which is huge.
It was a pretty good launch.
We're really
excited about it. And the fans, listeners that we talked to, and we've seen a bunch of them out here, are very awesome, super positive, and I think they're gonna love you.
Well, I think you guys are obviously yourselves, so that makes a huge difference. No one wants a sugar-coated nonsense.
Sure. That's the thing. They're like, hey, we're like hanging out with two friends who don't bullshit us, and we're like, okay. We're glad you like us because we ain't changing, folks.
I think we both needed to do stuff sometimes, whether it's like modeling or whatever, that you're like, I feel like I'm being.
We're just not good at being. So Chelsea took pictures of us yesterday, like, you know, the other day, and we've been having a great time out here. But the big reason why we really came out here was to get some really good interviews from people. And so, of course, when we were talking about interviewing, I was like, I have to get Anna on.
Yeah, it was like pretty much the first person that you said. So we're excited.
That's who we actually have on here today, folks. We have Anna Paulina Luna here.
Yes, ma'am.
And I am excited for you guys to get to know her a little bit more. Get to know the Anna that I actually know.
Yeah, how did you guys meet?
So I actually found her on Instagram of all places, but you know, the reason why we connected is there's such this stigma, I think, in the outside world looking into what the military is, that women can't be feminine and then also too in the military. Yes. So for me, obviously being in the military, and I know she's dealt with it, but you have such a small number of women, but to find confident women that aren't going to tear you down. And so for me, it was reaching out, and obviously our husbands ended up knowing each other through mutual people on their end of things. So
that's awesome.
They met last year at SHOT Show and it was like, no way, you know this guy? Like, I know this guy.
A small military world. And so for me, it was more or less like connecting with another strong woman and kind of carrying that over into what I do now. I mean, that goes places. Obviously, you're doing a podcast now, but we had the pre-existing friendship, and really to everything that she's doing, I mean, it's a hard thing to do, and she's kicking ass and taking names. So.
She's been one of the ones we talked about with Casey a little bit today, where she's just really supportive, right?
One of the ones supportive of women and
positive and like not talking people down. And we've also
and side note too, like I've carried that really into what I'm doing now. So I have all female staff.
You really?
Yeah. So, and I know, shout out to my amazing campaign manager.
She's
an awesome go-getter. So it's been great.
Well, we'll get into that. So before we get into all of that right now, I want people to get to know who you are.
Yes.
Right? So where are you from? How'd you grow up? Like, I know you joined the military. Like, tell us about your life.
So for me, I mean, I don't have a normal life upbringing. I think like when people look at me, they're like, oh, you probably do Starbucks and Uggs, which I do. I do. Full disclosure, I do.
No shame.
But I mean, my story and really what I'm passionate about, it comes from somewhere. So at 19, I joined the military. I really spent majority of my adult life in the military. And for me, I have the utmost respect for the military, because had it not been for that, I probably wouldn't have had the structure that I really needed to excel at really an adult life. But because of that, obviously, I used my social media platform and what I really gained working in the civilian world to shed light on some uncertain issues. And so one of them was sex trafficking. I came across a military nonprofit called Veterans for Child Rescue. And I, at this time, really didn't know that that was an issue at the border. And also to helping to shed light on issues of PTSD. And so that's something that the military is still trying to, one, work on treatment, getting people the help that they need, but also to breaking the stigma. And I think that Tiffany understands this, but, you know, and me being married into the special operations community, a lot of these guys are not getting the help that they need. And then too, you look at it from a legislative perspective, and I know we're kind of going to get into that in a minute, but when you have people that are afraid of getting help because of losing their civil liberties, that's a problem. And I think that that's where, as veterans, as a veteran community, as spouses of military members, you really have to take a stand and say, okay, look, I might not like politics, but I think I should probably get involved, because right now I care about these people, I care about this community, and it's me doing due diligence to the people that sacrifice so much to really help serve the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think when people hear politics, they not that they shut off, but it seems like such a broad issue. But now when you're talking about people, is when people can start, right?
Yes.
Relating to
it's
it.
The stories.
I think sometimes when people think of politics though, right? You think of like the family argument that you're having at the dinner table and everyone, or they're talking about their views. And then that's why people are like, oh, let's not talk about politics. You can definitely talk about things that you believe in and helping people and things for the greater good. Even if you don't agree and you're not on the same page together, you could still talk about it like human beings.
It's you know, it's a conversation you have with people. Obviously, I know we'll get into what I'm doing here in a minute. But really, you know, my passion really has stemmed from that community. And why I joined the military is because I wanted to go to college. I had no idea about how to even apply to school. Mm-hmm. I happened to be at a house party. It was on a Saturday. And I heard two guys that were my friends that were down at Camp Pendleton. They were Marines. And they were talking about how the fact that the military was paying for them to go to school. So I went and found a recruiter literally that Monday. I enlisted. And then I told my parents right before I was going to be leaving to basic training.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
So you did it without their.
Perfect.
Yes. I just like went and did my thing.
Good for
and
you.
And I was like, hey, mom, I need you to drop me off. And my parents were like, wait, what? Like hit the ceiling. My mom's like, you're joining the military. No one in our immediate family had a military connection. And then also too, mind you, my mom raised me on her own. Mm-hmm. My dad was in and out of jail growing up, had a drug problem. So like for me, I didn't really realize that my upbringing wasn't normal until I joined the military of all things. And then I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. I should probably do some self-reflection. Maybe talk to therapists. A little bit of both.
Why am I really into this?
Yes. Yeah. What is going on here? So, but you meet some incredible people. And I know Tiffany will tell you that the military, the one thing that it does do is bring people together mm-hmm. from all walks of life. And you have the uniform, so you're not really looking at who's wearing what. And you're kind of just going to work. And so I've met some incredible people, to include you, really through my military experience. And I will continue to support the military no matter where I'm at in life.
Absolutely.
So did your mom, was she supportive of your decision or was she supportive of it later on?
So when I first told her, she literally, I remember like I had the phone here and I could still hear her. She's like, you're gonna die. You're crazy. What are you doing?
That sounds like my parents.
Yeah, she hit the ceiling, literally. And then after that, she's like, okay, well, I understand why you're doing it. And of course I said, mom, I'm joining the Air Force. I have a very safe job.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be okay. And then I think that she realized after that, I was able to do so much. And I really did help my family. I was sending money home during the first couple of years was in the military. And so for me, you know, she appreciated it. And so I was able to bring her out. I brought my family to the first state fair, which being in LA, we don't have state fairs.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
Side note, you guys will laugh, but the first time I ever saw a circular hay bale, it was when I was stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. I thought they were lawn decorations.
I live in Missouri, so this was like normal. Well, like, there's a hay bale again.
I'm from, Los Angeles too. So it's like,
so we saw hay bales in rectangles.
You
at the
were that.
Patch.
I didn't know.
You were that person, because we used to have students go through SEER training, right? And they were like, I've never seen snow in my life. I'm like, how do you exist?
I was the same person.
We saw the man-made stuff, right? If you go to like mountain high or something.
I just thought it was so funny until I experienced the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So why'd you pick the Air Force then?
So I went and talked to an Army recruiter, actually, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be a combat medic. And then I felt like I shouldn't really listen to everything he was saying. And there was another recruiter. They're like, you should go over to the other side. Go talk to the Air Force recruiter, and kind of walked over. And then as it turned out, my mom had a friend that was in the Marine Corps. And then he told me, he's like, you're going to join the Air Force. Like that they have the better living conditions. And mm-hmm. I was like, living conditions? What is he talking about?
Yeah.
Found out later on what he was talking
you're
about.
You're like, yes, thank you very much.
So glad I listened to him. Obviously ended up with the Air Force. Of course, my recruiter totally lied to me. Told me
what did he
say? He said that if I didn't take my job in airfield management, which for those listening, 1-Charlie-751 was my AFSC. Totally dorky job. Definitely needed. Definitely dorky though. Uh-huh. He said that I wouldn't be able to join the military, which I now know was a lie.
Oh,
I'll never forget
to get
him.
You in.
Yes,
oh.
Sergeant Lemon. I will never forget him. Oh. He was a Lemon.
Shout out Lemon. To Sergeant Lemon. Yeah,
coming for you.
Coming for you, liar.
But you know, things have a way of working out, and I actually ended up meeting Andy at the time, so it all kind of played
Perfect.
Well.
Yeah.
I just only asked because I remember my dad was like, you can go into the military, but you're only going to go into the Air Force or Navy.
Did he?
Yes.
Why does that feel like better? I know.
Because I did
parents,
find out
easier.
That I wanted to do it, but I also told them, kind of hoping that they'd be okay with it. And he goes, hey, listen, I like talked to all my buddies and they said that the Air Force or Navy was the best for a girl because they definitely will take care of you and you have better opportunities.
Well, and I think at the time too, the Navy was making people cut their hair. And so
were they?
Yes, they were. I remember. Yeah. So the recruiting building, I joined in 2009.
Okay.
So I remember, and I don't know if that was just like an urban legend, but I remember the recruiters were all in kind of the same area. And so for me, I was like, okay, Well, I'm not cutting my hair.
Yeah.
So
I don't have to do that. I had long hair like I did now and I cut it short purposely because I was like, I'm going to cut it nice first before you just
chop it.
And I went to basic training with a short haircut and I was like, why did I cut this? And the worst part is I tried to put it in a ponytail the whole time in basic training, right? Just like slicking it back and putting all the bobby pins in. And I didn't have to because it was short enough. I could just wear it down.
Oh my gosh.
I'm an idiot.
Gosh,
it's okay.
You really messed up.
I really messed up. You really messed up. I look cute every day. My hair down. So what did you do when you were in?
So I did airfield management.
Did you cross train or no?
No, never cross trained. Okay. I actually requested all the night shifts. So I would go to school in the daytime. And then I had this female sergeant. She was not a nice lady. So as I got to my upper division level courses, I ended up transferring from a community college to the local university. They had an amazing biology department. So I actually ended up graduating from the University of West Florida over in Pensacola, which is an hour from Hurlburt. I would drive an hour to school after I would get off a night shift. And then I do my classes and then come home and sleep before the next night shift. And so that was my schedule. And then this woman, I kid you not, and I know my husband's sitting back over there, but she would literally start scheduling me on the days that I had classes so I wouldn't be able to go. So I ended up applying for early separation. My commander did let me out because Obama at the time was downsizing the military.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously I got an honorable. I wasn't kicked out or anything.
Sure.
And I was able to finish my degree and then I came back into the Guard once I had completed my bachelor's.
Did you do the same thing in the Guard too?
Yes, same thing in the Guard. And it was during my gap year. So I was doing that, applying to medical schools.
Uh-huh.
Later on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, later on got into medical school. And then I had 24 hours to decide, was I going to go to medical school or was I going to take the political route and kind of help people in a different capacity?
I remember this now because I remember you were there getting accepted for her, you know, going through medical school and everyone was super excited, right? You had the balloons and like the picture and we're like,
I was really excited too.
And then out of nowhere, she like hits me up and she's like, dude, I had like, it was one or the other, like opportunity. And I was like,
I did. I hit her up and I asked the day I had to make the decision. So,
and it was one of those things too where I'm like, well, lucky you. These are both really great decisions, right?
Exactly. Like there's no negative to it.
A politician or a doctor, like... I'm trying to figure out what stocks we're today.
When you were at the crossroads, what was it?
So again, going back to the counter trafficking organization, I realized that, and really too at the time, and I still have a great relationship with an organization called Global Surgical Medical Support Group. And so they are like Doctors Without Borders, except they will hire military veterans. A lot of people don't realize that Doctors Without Borders does not hire veterans because it's bad for their look. So Dr. Epstein started Global Surgical, and they actually go to partner countries and they'll train up their coalition forces to do humanitarian aid. And so they actually bring in women. They'll train some of the women in those areas. So they work very closely with the Kurds. But he was amazing. And I called him. He goes, you know, you have a chance right now to help more people at a legislative level in only 2 years than you would have your entire lifetime as a doctor. He's like, you know, I will help you with a letter of recommendation if it doesn't work out, but I really think that you'd be making mistakes. So I talked to him. I called almost everyone in my phone book, and then I ended up calling the admissions department at the university I got into. And they're like, you know what? We respect that. You have a good relationship with us.
Wow.
Obviously, I'd already paid my deposit, so I didn't ask for it back. But they said, we'll make a note in your file. And, you know, the door is always open.
Oh, that's going to feel good, though.
It was good, but it was such an intense thing. I mean, like, Andy had already left to go TDY. We said goodbyes. I was ready to go. I had purchased my plane ticket. Everything was packed. And then I was like, oh, my God. The minute that time was like for where my plane was going to go, I was like, okay, this is going to be a huge life-changing decision. And it was. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just, you know, I think when you're on the right path, doors just open and it went from here to here very quickly. So,
and yeah, so as soon as that clicked, it just
went boom. It was like going on a trampoline, just like doing like Super Mario. You kind of hit the magic mushroom or whatever and you go bloop, bloop, bloop. And so that's kind of what happened.
So did you have people already that in your life that were kind of in the like... politician realm,
the political arena. I came into this arena kind of as an activist, and so I was fighting, really talking on issues of immigration because of what I saw working with this counter trafficking organization. And when I say working, I was using my social media, talking closely with the founder to get that information out there. I think what I realized is that at the time I did not think that the news or that really digital platforms would censor truth. Mm-hmm. And really this, I'm not looking at this from a partisan perspective. This is an issue of you have kids that are children. It doesn't matter where they're from and they're being used for sex. They're being raped. And it's just like this really dark thing.
Yep.
And so I felt that I should kind of shed light on that. I had a platform. If I really wanted to help people, I should be touching on that topic. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was trying to share that information. And I realized that the more I was going into that, that my own platform was being censored. And so that's obviously a problem because, you know, in the military, you take an oath to really uphold and defend the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That's free speech. I mean, I wasn't putting out hateful stuff. I was simply putting out the truth.
Yeah.
And I was being shut down for it. And so it went from me realizing how the media worked. I then started cycling onto Fox. And I was like, you know what? These people are talking about what's happening at Capitol Hill. And this message, I mean, there's so much change that needs to happen, but the right people aren't in office because a lot of people go into, and I think you see this in the media world, I mean, they do it for the wrong reasons. Either they want attention, it's a power trip for them, mm-hmm. and there's so much of that. And I just realized as an outsider to DC,
you mean
the
social
change,
media or?
Social media, yeah. politics, anything,
yep. Yeah.
but you can always tell who's really passionate sure. about it versus who's in it for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
And so for me, looking at it from that perspective, I was driving home one day and I said, you know, I'm going to be running for Congress. And so I called Andy and he was at work at the STS.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? All right, I guess we're doing this. So there's like no how to run for
yeah.
office.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
we kind of got the ball rolling. And I told work, I said, I love you guys, respect what you're doing, but I'm running for office. I'm stepping down. And I did. And we pulled the trigger. And so I'm here now, obviously, on the campaign trail with you guys.
Yes. That is crazy.
But you're still, oh. your platform now is still having to do with immigration and
yeah
things
that's
that the-
so my platform now I still shed light on immigration, why we need to do it
okay.
the correct way,
yeah,
but I also too, I mean, I'm fighting very hard for gun rights for veterans,
okay,
and I say that people think that, you know, this whole thing that happened in Virginia recently, you say the word guns, I mean, I have a very interesting life experience that's really allowed me to talk on from a personal story why I think that gun rights need to be protected in the way that they do. So I know we don't have a lot of time, but in a nutshell, when I was 9, I walked into an armed robbery and survived it. I was with wow. my dad. At 16, one of the 6 high schools that I attended was Venice High School. There was a shooting on campus. I was there when it happened. It was between gangs. And then at 20 years old, when I was at Whiteman Air Force Base, I was allowed off base and I had a home invasion.
Oh,
I did
gosh.
Not own a firearm at the time. And there was a dude that was at my house that was my friend because I had caught onto some things that were going on around the house that were super weird. Long story, ended up being my landlord. He was
what?
Telling me that I was being paranoid, that my roommate was messing with me. He was basically gaslighting me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what ended up happening is he had timed it to when the train went by. I was getting home from night shift and he broke in. He thought I was alone and the guy chased him out. So at
oh,
the time,
thank God.
My commander got involved, ordered us back on base. Jag got involved. So it was this huge thing. But it was really, you know, my life experiences told me, look, mm-hmm. people are going to do really bad things. Guns are not the problem. People are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so right now what we're seeing is that veterans are targeted by red flag laws. And I have read through the legislation of that. And it says that if you suffer from a mental health condition, which according to the American Psychiatry Association
is PTSD, wow.
you can't own firearms. And the thing is that, you know, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist here, but like when you look at these platforms that these people are running on, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, socialism doesn't care about that. And socialism and gun control go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And why would you want veterans, people who took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, have firearms when you're trying to push that agenda? And so
sure.
from my perspective, I have seen the legislation, the groundwork for it. And of course, then Ballistic Magazine gave the cover of their article for February to my campaign.
That's
of their magazine.
And congrats, by the way.
Thank you
yeah.
very much. We were very happy about that.
Yeah.
We've had an immense amount of support from the gun community, but of course, Instagram and Twitter shut it down. And so that is why, I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
Dude.
She saw it. Yeah. She saw
I did too
yeah.
because I was like, oh my God, hell yeah, Anna. And then I saw it posted again and I was like, why is it being posted again? Right? Like maybe she didn't get a lot of
yeah.
engagement on it. And then I realized when you look at the rest of her page and just normal posts that don't have anything to do with politics,
or
they get like 20,
yeah.
20,000 or 25, 30,000 likes. And this one you had like 5,000
yeah.
right
when,
after
yeah.
like a day or something.
And when people would share it, their actual engagement would drop. And that's something that's common. Right. And so the reason I'm able to compete with some of the people that I can, I'm talking like heavy hitting politicos that have been in DC for a while, is because I have the platform that I do. And that came from really working in the grassroots sector and kind of learning out how social media works. And
mm-hmm.
so across all my platforms, I have around 400,000 people that follow me, and those people have been donating. And then also
That's
to
awesome.
People in the district, and now other people, they're going to help with fundraisers. But the point is that they don't want new blood.
Mm-hmm.
They want that controlled power. And these people do get rich off of greasing the wheel when it comes to certain legislative yes. policies. And so I think that no matter who you are, if you're listening to this right now, you need to realize that, one, you should be taking part of the process. You know, if you're going to enjoy the American freedoms, you need to be fighting for them too, whether that's helping candidates get elected or you yourself running. But that also, too, you need new blood in D.C. The founding fathers never anticipated for it to be a lifetime job. You're supposed to do your service, mm-hmm. represent your community, yep. represent the people, and then get out. Like, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to make it a 30-year yeah. thing.
yeah. yeah, for the rest of your life.
Like, let's retire in Congress, you know? Like
dictatorship.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like you're yeah. little, you might be a little too old for this now. Like
you can retire in the yeah. military, not in Congress.
I mean, exactly. yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, too, with Trump, right, being elected. And it just shocked the entire yeah. nation because they were like, how did this guy who has no political background affiliation at all get elected? And I think it's because so many people are so fed up with the empty promises that politicians are just literally, you know, throwing out there to everyone. Hey, I'm going to make these changes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they get in office and they don't see any of it happen.
And they're not real people. I right? mean, like, no one has a perfect life. No one has this, like, cookie cutter, you know, image that they project to people. Like, people want that real grit. And I think sure. Trump says what it is. I mean, yep. if you hear him talk, he backs it up. And guess yeah. what? He's held true to his campaign promises. So yes, I mean, people are gonna be like, oh, I can't believe she supports the president. Well, yeah, I like a president that's gonna do a good job. And you know what? With what happened just recently with Iran, I'm sorry, but the United States doesn't have to answer to anyone. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee that if my husband was there, I would sure as hell want the president of the United States to back that damn embassy because yes. there's good people yeah. overseas. You know it. I know yes. you know it.
Yeah.
But some of these people who have their head in the sand in D.C. don't know it.
We even just talked
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we did an episode right after that.
Some celebrities that I was like, really? Yeah. Why? What is your deal right now? Like, they're why removed. Are you glorifying this murderous man right now? Thinking like, are you kidding? They just do you know anything about him?
They have no context. So in order to understand nuances like that, you have to follow politics. You have to follow mm-hmm. things. You have to get involved. If you only hear one thing, it's out of context and sure. they're fucking freaked out.
And you
out.
Should always read easy both nowadays. Sides, right? Yes. Like if you exactly. want a form of, well, you know, even your argument, you should always know the other side and know the other perspective. Yeah. And so I really am good with my messaging. I think I talk from a lot of personal experience. I don't know everything. And I'm the first person to admit that. And yeah. so when I need help, when I, you know, want to seek advice, I have counsel. And I think that that's important to remember. So like now I'm currently running against the former governor of Florida. And he's been a Republican, an independent, now he's a Democrat. So in his 30 years in office, he's been every single party. And, you know, I think the people are, they're catching on now. Like, yeah. maybe this guy.
This doesn't make any sense. Yes.
This makes zero sense. And who is he
representing? For anything?
Yeah, yeah. No backbone. Exactly. Yeah. But it's, you know, I am a grassroots candidate. I have been told by a lot of people that I guess I'm a breath of fresh air in regards to the political arena. And it's mm-hmm. because I'm myself. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. And, you know, I'm down to talk to whoever it is. If they don't agree with me, I'll have the conversation. But I think it takes people, again, to be willing to do that, to get that new blood into D.C. And I really think that it'll help save the country. And, you know, moving forward, I am working on some projects. I'm actually going to be co-producing a documentary with PragerU, which is a very big nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they asked me, they said, if you were going to do a show, how would you do it? And I said, well, I need to help the people that I believe that are going to help further this message. And so I'm giving every single person that I've worked with and hand selected over the past year and a half their own episode on my show.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, they get their platform. And yeah. I think that that's part of the thing. If you want to empower other people to spread that message, if you believe in it, mm-hmm. you can't be the only person to do it. It's your job as a good leader to empower other people to carry that message for you. So that's what we're doing.
And mm-hmm. you're building your army.
Yeah. I yes. feel like you learned that a little bit from the military too.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. 100%. Yeah. You were taught from day yeah. one, like to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower and you have to take care of your guys.
And you have
want
to listen
succeed.
Too.
Absolutely. So I love that
she
you take that.
Well, you get it.
What is this little life nugget?
Well, that's how it is.
When you work in a restaurant too, you know, you really need to.
I also did that.
Yeah. You're a server too? Yeah,
yes.
You know. You know that life.
You know that life.
So,
side hustle in college. Yeah.
What is, so if you can talk to us a little bit about kind of you a little bit more about your campaign and like what kind of your big stances on things, right?
Okay.
And then even just maybe what people need to know about you if they want to vote for you, especially in the state of Florida, right? Yeah, like my sister's there, so I'm sure she would love to hear.
So yeah. I'm running in Florida 13, which is a congressional district. So for people who might not know how the congressional runs work is that every state is divided into districts based on population. And so my district specifically is Pinellas County area. So we're about 15 minutes from Tampa.
Okay.
It encompasses a majority of Pinellas County. And so it's a very awesome area. Obviously the beach is a huge factor. And the one interesting thing is I think people think that Republicans and conservatives are anti-environment, and it's not true. In fact, I'm the first person to recycle. I obviously am for limited government and limited plastics is what I say. I'm not trying to ban straws.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like, hey, look, if China's going to destroy the oceans, I think I can just go ahead and drop something in recycling here and
there. Absolutely.
So I think it's part, you know, what I'm trying to do is also rebrand the party a little bit to show that I care about the environment. You know, you look at the history of politics and really the Republican Party, and Teddy Roosevelt was a conservationist, and he's really the one that, you know, led out the fight for the environment. And I think that we've kind of, as a party, the Republican Party, and so for those wondering, I'm a Republican candidate.
Yeah.
But has been branded so unfairly. And so that for me is a huge thing. So I'm a green conservative, but then also too, in my district specifically, there is a huge problem with the opioid crisis. So one person dies every 36 hours from an opioid overdose.
Oh, goodness.
So tying into kind of the pharmaceutical industry and really what's happened there, people don't realize that in DC, if you don't have people that are really fighting for the people, they're going to be fighting for these organizations that want to make a buck, and they make a buck off the American people. And, you know, drugs and pharma, that's really something that impacts all people. It doesn't just stay in lower income communities. It will shoot right up to the wealthiest people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure we've all some way, shape or form been connected to someone who has been directly affected by drugs. Yes. And really opioids are legal drugs, and so for me that's a huge problem. It's something I'm very passionate about that obviously ties into something very personal with me. So I'd have to say that if someone was wondering really what my stances are, I'm obviously definitely an anti-socialist. Yeah. I'm definitely pro-gun, pro-God, and pro-life. And so again, that those are my stances, and I've had a lot of personal experience with that. But there's things that I think that we as a people need to start saying no to. Socialism is a big one. There's not going to be any parties if we're a socialist country.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, it's a little scary when you come to think of it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be like scary on the podcast.
No, I'm just saying, when you be realistic about the whole socialism movement.
I like that when you are like, just so you know, I'm a Republican candidate, because you, you're right. The way that you talk, it's not, you're changing the brand of it. Sorry.
It's,
but do you know what I mean?
Brand.
Where like people are like, is she? Yeah, but like
too,
I like that.
In media, when I started to kind of roll on with bookers, I was actually told as a joke, the guy was in joking, goes, you know, if you were to switch parties, switch teams, you'd be an overnight star. Especially
if you were a Democrat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was serious. Mm-hmm. And I said back to him, I love my guns and God too much to do that.
So what am I going to do? Yeah.
So, and you know, it is an uphill battle. You're running against what is publicly accepted in media.
Yeah.
And you will get destroyed for it. But you have to have thick skin. And there's so many more people that are, I think the way that I do. They just don't necessarily vocalize that because they're worried about being attacked. And you can't worry about that. You can't live your life like that. And so I've chosen to live myself publicly as a conservative.
Yeah.
And I love every moment of it.
Yeah. That's got to be hard though, isn't it? Like you're constantly being scrutinized. You're underneath the magnifying glass microscope. Even more so, like, you know, in the military, right? Being a female in it. Like we have just kind of like the light on us at all times. People are always looking at what we do.
Trying to throw you under the bus.
Right.
Huge
just,
one.
They're just
do they?
Like,
yes.
Well, sometimes with certain females. So even in my career field a little bit, there were some times where I was scrutinized more and they were waiting for me to screw up more.
Oh, for sure.
And if I did the same screw up as a guy, the guy, it was fine. But I particularly was getting
I can say this, and I know that she's experienced too. There's a lot of women in the military that get very jealous. And so they look to social media and they see posting it and it just becomes like, I've literally had to pull out the AFI and be like, show me right here where it says I can't post X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm not, I'm not posting my politics in uniform. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, oh, how can you look so beautiful in uniform? Oh, shut up. You know what I mean?
I'm in my uniform.
Like, really?
Yeah.
No, but people do. They like a petty stuff. So how has it been then? Because it's more magnified now, right?
People can say just the nastiest stuff behind a profile that's a fake name, private profile. Yeah. And so I got to the point where I was like, you know, I don't really care. Like, if I don't like what you have to say, like, you get kicked off my profile. And like, I don't really care. I'm not going to expose myself to abuse.
Block.
So I have a fat comment filter section. Like, and I've had to get creative with the words because people say just rude
things. Oh my gosh,
things.
Do you put all the words
literally
in there?
Literally, I put like the new words. Like, if you come up with a new insulting word, I'm going to add it to my comment filter. And my comment filter is like this big.
I like
but
that.
I don't care what people have to say. I really don't. Like, unless you're like my mother and, you know, if I'm fighting for the right thing, I really have thick skin. So for me, you know, if I have something insulting that happens, I'm like, it doesn't faze me. And I say that because you cannot be sensitive in this arena at all in any way, shape or form. Yeah. So
but don't, definitely right now.
But don't people try to play dirty, though?
Oh, they do
right?
all the time.
You know, like opponents and think about it. Anyone will try, just like they did with Trump, right? To try to
they make
find
up lies.
Videos or lies or there's like anything they can try to dig up from your past.
They will stop at nothing. But you know what? I have a huge microphone and I am who I am. And I'm okay with owning that. People that know me, my family, like my husband knows exactly who I am. So if you want to try to come for me, then you're going to be sorry for it because I'll hit you back 10 times harder. And I'm not afraid of that either.
You should see her on. I love it. So what were you? Wait, you were on Fox News, right? And you were on Waters World? Yeah. Who were you
wait,
talking?
What?
She was on Waters World.
Okay.
This is water and this is my world, right?
Okay.
That is the thing. And she was talking with someone and I just remember.
Was it the professor?
There was someone who was just.
She was a professor from John Hopkins, I think. Okay. And I think it's like Dr. Wendy something or other. We were talking about what was happening during the kneeling, during the national anthem. And she was. First of all, the lady is not a nice lady, okay? But frankly, right now, what we were really getting to, and I actually got in an argument with her on Waters World, and it actually ended up on The Shade Room, which at the time, I didn't know what The Shade Room was on Instagram. The Shade Room is this huge, like, it's almost like TMZ, but it's on Instagram. Check it out later.
Okay.
But we ended up on there, and just, so like, well. I was looking through the comments, and, you know, at the end of the day, kneeling during the national anthem, super disrespectful. Okay, yes. You shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But she was trying to say that it was okay that, you know, people like Dak Prescott were really called awful, like literally a lemonade serving house N-word by other people in the black community because he didn't agree with kneeling during the national anthem. And frankly, that's what politics has come down to, is if you go against the popular mainstream belief for especially minority communities, you're all of a sudden a sellout to your community. And so I got in a huge debate with her about that. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely fire.
Her fire came out and everyone was like, yes, Anna, yes. Like people were posting it. Like I couldn't believe it. I was yelling at my TV.
Yeah,
like,
I love
it. It was great. But
that's
you're
what
great.
You want.
But she's great on there though. Cause you stick, you're very strong on your stance. You're very educated on, right?
Thank you.
On what you believe. And no, she really is. It's not like she's just,
she's
like
not
Cortez.
Insulting people. Or,
you know, just pulling shit out of her
ass. I use one facts thing about, and personal experience and it's a hard argument against that. So.
And so it's great watching her on there. Cause you're like, no, this totally makes sense. If you know,
and then it makes the other people look like crazy.
Yeah,
we'll let them just
they let
be
some
mean.
Some of these people though are very. I mean, you realize that a lot of times they're given talking points and that they don't even know what they're fighting for, because if they truly did, either they're just really bad people or they're definitely controlled by people that have an invested interest in pushing that agenda. So
yeah,
I feel like the news too though is purposely going to take two very opposite ends of the spectrum and maybe even explosive personalities and put them together because people do like drama
and it's ratings
and it's
and
ratings.
That's why a lot of people are going to podcasts and radio for their information. So
because the news, I've kind of mentioned this before. I don't know. I said, I don't know if people might agree with me. This might be an unpopular opinion, but you know, I was trained in interrogation methods. Right. And propaganda is a big one of them. And the news.
And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's propaganda. And that's what people do.
Propaganda.
It's propaganda.
Yeah.
You call it that and people are like, ooh.
Wait a
minute.
When you put.
Thing.
Yeah. It literally fits the definition of it. Hands down is when you put that label on it, people start actually thinking, going, wait, is that really true? And that's why I was telling people the same thing that you did. You need to watch different news networks. You shouldn't just be getting everything.
And also, too, if they're saying bills, look up the bill. A lot of times they won't tell you what bill it is. You should be reading these things. They'll say, oh, like, it's a nice term, but you should be always doing your due diligence, making sure that, because sometimes people can be wrong.
Yeah.
So I think people think that just because you're on television
and you're
like, loud,
that you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of idiots that end up on television. And I think that, you know, working in that industry, I mean, look at Cardi B. Is like literally talking about clapping her ass cheeks and now she wants to run for Congress. No, it doesn't work like that.
Well, can we talk about that really quick? Because there's a lot of you were in the celebrity world. You're in the celebrity world.
Yep.
And
no,
so
I'm
but
in
there's
the
been
entertainment,
the entertainment world. You know what I meant.
You're a bitch.
And so there's a lot more entertainers out there becoming a lot more
vocal
and public about their political opinions. So how does that,
like, it, for me, it feels like it's fine if you actually, like, you see a problem, you see people that you can help, and you use your platform for that. It feels like they're using their platform for themselves.
They know that they get attention. And the thing is right now is there are conservatives in Hollywood, but they're so afraid of losing their jobs, mm-hmm. because that's a thing. I mean, we shouldn't be, that's not what you served for. That's not what Andy mm-hmm. served for, I served for, to where people can't come out with their political beliefs. I mean, what is this, Russia? Yeah. Like, you're afraid of the secret police. I mean, that's where it's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's unfortunate because that's really the ideologies. I mean, you go out to LA, people are like, oh, you're Republican. You know,
oh, you can't even like say it, right?
You can't even say it. So for me, I kind of just, you know, if I lost friends when I came out as a Republican.
See, that's what I was going to ask.
And isn't that crazy?
It's crazy, but if you were my homie before you found out and then all of a sudden you're not my homie anymore.
Yeah.
And so I did a life cleanse.
Yeah.
And guess what? I made some amazing friends in the political arena. We see eye to eye. They respect what I have to, I mean, you know, sometimes we disagree on certain policies, but they're still there for me and they respect me for what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. so if that's what it took, then fine. I don't want someone that's going to be a fair weather friend anyways, especially not in this arena.
Everyone not be able to say what you support. Yeah. That's insane, right?
Yeah, everyone needs a life cleanse.
Yeah. Come out with your political beliefs if you want to cleanse your life.
That's my goodness.
It'll work, right?
Yes. Yeah. Instantly.
When Trump was elected, I think we all got a little life cleanse, as you say.
Allie says spiritual cleanse.
My goodness.
Yeah.
All you have to say is, I support President Trump. You will get a life cleanse instantly. Just do that.
They'll
good energy.
Drop like flies.
Yes. Just left and right. Unfollow. You might lose a few thousand followers, but it's okay. Life cleanse.
It's fine. It's a good idea.
I mean, there's a reason why I don't talk about a lot of stuff on social media on my account, mainly because I don't want to deal, like, I don't care about the followers. I don't mind losing a bunch. Like, they probably bother me. But the biggest thing is I don't want to be in arguments about that all the time. Like, I don't want to have the animosity and all that, at least for me, like on my personal page.
Yeah.
I like when people can get along on my page and be like, hey, you're cool. You're rad.
Yeah.
And you do some good videos too, to your credit. And very funny videos.
Thanks. Would you post about your political views?
No, and I don't. But I also have this podcast. I think people, I'll talk to anyone. That's the thing.
Good.
Like, I'll talk to anyone that wants to talk to us. There are some people that won't because we feel we are conservative a little bit more. So there are people, either liberals, that won't come on the show. And that's crazy to me because we're open to it.
Well, I feel like
we're open to a conversation. Yeah, and I think you are as well.
And I feel like with the military, people are like, okay, so obviously, you know, drinking broettes, probably pretty conservative. And I say that because obviously Kavanaugh liked beer. But like during the hearing, all of a sudden, if you liked beer, it was like, you're a bad person.
Goodness, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah,
you've
awesome.
Had two beers, you're an alcoholic. Like, what?
Yeah. He's like, I was like 60. The guy was such a good guy. He literally had his notes. I mean, you just felt terrible for the guy.
Yeah, his calendar.
And he wrote it. And I'm like, you know what? You damn bullies. Leave the man alone.
Seriously.
You know what, Kavanaugh? I like beer and I'll have a beer for you too.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're watching this, I got you.
Everyone gave him shit about the calendar. I did that.
Did you do that?
That's me. That was me when I was younger.
It's just the fact is that they had nothing.
I needed. Yeah,
they made false allegations.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in D.C. during those hearings. And I can tell you that there was organizations that were actually organizing those rallies. There's also protesters. They were running on Craigslist. But this was a complete political hit job because they didn't want someone at the level that he was at, because they don't
to his position.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't want him there because he's going to protect the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I'm not trying to like plug any more political stuff right here, but
please.
Planned Parenthood was organizing a lot of the protests against him.
Oh yeah.
And for me, they were running a hit job on a man who was innocent, and ended up having Ruth, who's like one of the oldest women currently right now working as a judge, and she backed him. But the point is that they did not want him in office for a reason, and they didn't care what they had to do to really smear him as a good person. And honestly, if you're bringing up beer, I mean, then, you know, 3/4 of the nation is just screwed.
Yeah, we're all done.
To so many people, that was obvious, right?
Yeah.
That was, I love that the beer was the thing that separated us all.
I know. People were just like, this is getting ridiculous.
Well,
like,
you know what I found a little bit ironic, though, is that doctor... Right, the chick who was accusing him of it,
Dr. Blasey Ford.
Blasey Ford.
I couldn't remember her name. That's she good. Yeah, it's a good thing. She just fell off the face of the earth after
she
all
actually,
of it. Yeah,
there she was tried. A GoFundMe, a couple GoFundMes. That
I heard
were,
she got like $1 million or something like that.
Yes, and unfortunately, but what happened with her is that she had been very vocal and she had some connections, political connections. Mm-hmm. You saw her circles. So yeah, she came out, made false allegations, and literally this man, Kavanaugh, had his ex-girlfriends come and testify saying like, hey, look, he was a good guy. People from his high school, I can tell you, I don't even know if I talk to people from high school anymore. But oh, guy's yeah. such a yeah. good person that people were going and oh, yeah. shutting and down her him, argument yeah. left and right. But the fact that they could do that and that they would politically orchestrate that, I mean, I don't care if you are a Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you identify as a rock. You should be realizing that that's pretty bad.
No, absolutely. His whole life was turned upside down and completely changed. I can only imagine...
They're attacking his wife, his feeling, kids,
oh
everything.
Oh my gosh, and the death threats and everything he was getting?
That was at the height of Me Too. So the fact that he actually got in isn't a testament to actually how, because they could not deny that it didn't happen.
They
do
were
you know
pushing,
what I mean? And that was Me Too. So
they were pushing
everyone,
a guilty until yeah. innocent narrative.
Yeah.
And I think everyone that has a husband, a brother, a cousin, a best friend that's a guy got very concerned at that point. Because
oh, sure.
you cannot, and I can say in the military,
a son?
Yeah. I have seen cases of false rape allegations mm-hmm. against men, and it destroys people's careers, and that's not how it should be. Okay, I'm not saying that sometimes guys don't do bad things. There are bad people in the world, but you cannot push that narrative guilty until proven innocent. That's not what we're founded on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So. No, that was a big eye-opening thing for
Made
me.
Worry about my sons. Yeah. At that time.
No, exactly. It was a very big topic of conversation even at work.
And I remember. Ruin your entire life.
Especially for Supreme Court. That's one of the most honorable positions currently
oh, yeah.
existing in the land, right? And yeah. they wanted to just destroy him. And you know what, though? I think a lot of these people, I mean, they have to answer to God one day.
Yeah.
They're bad people. And I'm yeah. sorry, but this man was innocent. He still got in without, you know, everything that they put against him. He
exactly.
still got in, so.
And I think that should prove itself, like I'm saying, especially at the time that it was happening.
Yeah.
Because, it was a witch hunt at that time. So the
Love
fact
it.
That the fact that he got in just shows that there was a calendar. He had a dorky little calendar.
I know, and I loved it because I was like, I did that shit too
I
when I was younger.
I love it.
And I need to do it now because I have a terrible memory, which is like the worst part.
Yes.
Well, perfect.
You know? So with your campaign, how much longer, right, do you have on the campaign trail?
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear all about this because I feel like having a team of people, right?
Yeah.
Keeping me in line.
Literally, like
a little bit helping me
great.
Out.
If it was
Tiffany, you need to drink water today. You didn't eat anything. Do it right now.
No, that actually happens. Like that.
I do it to you.
Happens. Yeah.
Kinda. So basically, if it was not for my campaign manager, I mean, she's like the glue to everything and hustles every step of the way. But Andy does remind us both, like, hey, you haven't eaten yet.
Hey, girls.
Food? Yes.
Let's like calm down.
Yeah. It's a 24-hour job. So we do have a primary, and that means that I'm going up against another Republican for the actual nomination to go against then the Democrat who's currently holding the position. So there's a primary in August. There will be a general in November. And then obviously you can find out more information about my campaign at VoteAnnaPaulina.com. You can find me on all of my social media platforms, usually fangirling with Tiffany, but at Real Anna Paulina.
I love it.
And, what different social media platforms do you have? I know you have Twitter.
I have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, pretty much every platform that exists except for TikTok.
I was going to ask you about that.
I'm not on the TikTok because I don't want the Chinese listening. And I'm sorry, but if the military was like, you shouldn't be on TikTok, I'm definitely not on TikTok. So.
They said, the military said, they didn't say, well, maybe they kind of did.
Yeah, they
probably.
Definitely. Yeah,
the military said, do not have it on your government cell phone, which, hello, like, obviously.
Probably shouldn't,
yeah. But
anyway.
But I guess recruiters were the only ones who had that on there. The only thing that made me nervous, because I was talking to you about it, is I posted a video of just me like taking off my blouse and like my boots, like, you know, this stuff you normally do
blouse
at the end of the day.
For people listening is like the over, not
yeah,
the actual
like your,
blouse.
No.
It's like
oh my God.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Yes,
taking,
yeah.
They know that. I wasn't stripping,
yes,
guys.
Military blouse is
yeah,
your,
like
over
the top
of your shirt.
Over
yeah.
it. You know, just taking off the normal things that you do on a daily basis when you get home. Like, oh, take off the boots. I'm a stripper. You
yeah.
guys know
she's
that?
Like, oh my gosh,
I was just stripping.
And then they were like,
I can't believe they liked it. It went viral. And I think it's like over 8 million views right now. But I'm getting a lot of.
What are the stats on that?
A lot of people from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Follow,
it's definitely
know.
People forget that social media,
and
for
I was like,
as fun as it is,
wow.
it can be dangerous.
It can be. Well, I know for a while there, even on social media, there was, and it still is a thing, the whole romance scammers.
Oh, Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. People will steal, especially uniform service members, their photos for dating applications. They scam people for Google Play cards. I had someone actually scamming this guy and he got creepily obsessed, started messaging. Mind you, I've been with my husband for 10 years.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't believe you cheated on me. Like, and I'm like, I know. Okay, look,
they're nuts.
They're crazy. And I was like, look, first of all, this is a verified account. The other profile that you're talking to, not this name.
Yeah.
Was not me. You're probably talking to a guy. Literally, he said that he was sending Google Play cards, I think, to Somalia. I was like, does it look like I'm in Somalia right now? Mm-hmm. And aside from that, you sent Google Play cards to someone that you didn't know. Stop meeting people on the
internet. And you never FaceTimed and you never got a any video.
But it's actually dangerous.
It's super dangerous. So when I had my larger page, it got so bad. Right, which I was kind of telling her because she makes fun of me. She'd be like, "Oh, the real Tiffany Hart? Is there fake ones out there?" I'm like, "Actually, there is.
Yes, there's
my
a job lot of
that. To make fun of you." Because it was one of those things, though, too, where all of a sudden, people were like, "People contacted my mom."
Yeah,
it scared me. Yeah, like they found my sister's Facebook and they were like stealing some of her pictures. They contacted my cousin because my cousin was like linked on Facebook and my cousin's like, hey, are you okay? Like, this guy's telling me you're in the hospital, and you can easily see my face like superimposed on this chick who's in a hospital bed.
Really bad.
They have photoshopped military IDs,
passports.
And then my mom got like a phone call with a really weird voicemail, and then she got like a text message. It was like, hey, is this, like, it said something about Tiffany, and she was like, oh, what was this? And that was when I shut down that profile, and I'm like, I'm going to start a new one. I'm going to make it private. I'm going to watermark it, at least for now. I mean, it's public now, so I don't know what's happening, but
we are, it's TBD if how long it's going to be public.
Yeah, I might change it here and there, but it's scary, right?
Yeah,
it's
crazy. People do exploit, they can gather information on it. You can get actually IP at, where you can get the geolocations of certain photos because it's coded into that.
Yeah.
So this is stuff that people don't realize, but social media, as great as it is for messaging, it also can be used to monitor, pull intelligence, and is used by foreign nations to gather intel. So you have to be really careful what you're posting. I sound like a creepy person right now, but it's out there. And you have to be careful about what you're posting. That's part of the concern with TikTok, is that China was using it to gather information as to what was happening with government officials.
Right?
I knew it.
I know. Our dads, China, were, our dads been right
on TikTok. Yes.
Our dads have been like telling us this for years. And we're like, dad, you're crazy. There's no way.
No, dad, you're right.
And now he's right.
So our dad's like phrase is like, they're watching. They're going to get you. They're always going to get you.
Just be wary.
So should we see what her broette would be?
Yeah, we can. So what we do here on the podcast is we have a drinking broette of the week, where we want to kind of honor someone that the community has basically, you know, basically they nominate a special woman or someone in their life. And so this one, this week is from Hartley. He said, hey, ladies, I just want to tell you that I love your podcast. I've been listening to Drinking Bros for a while. And I'm so glad that they added this to the addition. I would like to nominate my wife. Her name's Whitney, and she's I would like to nominate her as a drinking bro of the week. She has overcome so much in her life, including abusive traumatic events when she was young and going through drug addiction. She's been clean for 10 years now and recently achieved her lifelong dream of becoming a law enforcement officer at the same department that I work at. When me and her first met, I recently lost my previous wife to suicide. Wow. And I was in a very dark place. And from the moment I saw her, the darkness all completely went away. And she brought this bright light back into my life. I can't express how proud I am of her and how fortunate I am to have her in my life. We've been listening to the podcast on our commute to and from work all the time. It helps us decompress from our hard days. And it brings us a lot of humor through our tough days. So I just want to say thank you guys for all you do. And Whitney. Wow. What a
good
strong,
job, girl.
Amazing woman. And thank you for...
Your service.
You saved your life. You saved
your husband's life.
And you're saving everyone's life on a daily basis. So thank you both for everything you guys do.
Yeah.
So where can people find you? Where can they help? How can they help?
So right now I need donations. I need donations because obviously, and I'm not getting paid by my campaign. No. I am literally doing this.
A lot of
this.
People don't understand
that. I'm not taking a salary from the campaign. So this goes directly to getting me elected. So you can donate online at votesannapaulina.com. If you go to any of my social media handles, which is at @realannapaulina, I think I'm verified on all platforms except for Twitter. So don't give to a Somalian pirate, please.
Yeah, please
no Google Play cards, only donations at @voteannapaulina. And you can find those links on all my platforms. I need, it doesn't matter if it's 5, 10, 100.
I'm just going to ask.
If you're feeling giving 1,000, yeah, go ahead and give 1,000.
Yeah.
But I need donations. So if you can donate, again, vote on apolina.com. Mm-hmm. We need it. I'm trying to get to Congress. And if I can, I'm going to be helping the veteran community in a very serious way. So that's my end goal. And I really hope to lead out the new fight and to help represent really the conservative party moving forward in 2020.
Absolutely. And I'm excited for you.
I know.
Thank you.
Pumped. See what, like, happens, you are, and what comes of this.
You're good at this.
You thank you.
No, pumped. You're great.
I was like, yeah, I got it.
I, she was sitting there getting wild up. She's like, I'm ready to fight with you. Like, what do you want?
So, I like it.
And thank that's you. The big you're thing awesome. I think I said yesterday is, you know, I don't have a lot of money. And that's one thing I was going to ask. Like, no, hey, if people been, can just give like $5 or yeah, something, because I will keep giving you like my absolutely coffee fund.
Yes,
if I no, can, if that helps. So any little bit helps.
Yes.
Is there any parting words that you want to give our listeners here today?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't be afraid of really owning who you are. This is really what it's coming down to. If you don't speak up on things that are going wrong in society, you're part of the problem. So, you know, it might be rough at first, but you'll be a lot happier in the long run. And it'll really help a lot of people, I think, moving forward. At the end of the day, I think one of the things that is so great about the United States is that we have that freedom to say and do what we want. Mm-hmm. But there are people who don't want that. And it really comes down to economic and social control. And I think that if you really see, if you want a good future for your kids, for your grandkids, for yourself, you have to take a stand for something. And so now is the time to do it. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till you have people knocking on your door saying, hey, you know, you're a veteran, we need your firearms. That's wrong. Fight, take a stand, fight for something, and I'm here to help you guys along the way.
I love it. See?
Thank you.
Look, see? We're ready
that's
for
what
it.
I'm
let's
talking
do it.
About.
All right, we're I behind wish you. We're pumped.
The best of luck with everything. I'm excited to see your journey into being a congresswoman in Florida.
Yep.
Like, how awesome would that be? Like, later on, like, listen, I have a friend.
I mean,
she's
I
a congresswoman.
Have to unplug like, this and be
kidding?
Like, I was on Drinking Broettes. I don't know about you guys, but this was a savage campaign and I still won.
There
so.
You go. Right?
Thank you.
So, well, good luck with everything. I can't wait to see it all. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're out, guys. Yeah, you've been watching every move and plotting your next move on every girl I'm moving on. Yeah, don't you better things to do. Yeah, go buy some fucking shoes.